As you read through chapter 2, you're going to find that there are several things that will strike you immediately about this. And that is that the descriptions of Jesus that you find in the book of Revelation, and especially in this chapter, are awe-inspiring. Jesus walks among the candlesticks in verse 1, and at verse 8, he is the first and the last. He was dead and now alive. Then in verse 12, the one with the two-edged sword. Then at verse 18, he has eyes like flame, feet like burnished bronze. They're gleaming. As you think about this, you realize immediately that this is a picture that is made to inspire you. So beginning in chapter 2, verse 1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus. Remember, the angel is simply a word for a messenger. So this may be a heavenly messenger, it may be an earthly messenger, but he says to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you have found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. How many churches, how many of us have not seen churches that fit this description? There are churches that we've heard of. The young people might be excused in this, but those of us who are older who might have traveled around, then you think about the seven churches, the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men. There are churches around the nation where evil is tolerated, where they do not expose error. Error is meant to be exposed by the children of God. As we were studying in class this morning, one of the things that was pointed out is when Jesus was talking to the court in Acts, the fifth chapter, or not Jesus, but Peter and Paul, as they were talking to them, they were so direct and so specific in what they charged these men with that the very next verse says they were furious. In other words, it's something that is, as you think about it, when error is taught or error is practiced by those who lead the church, it needs to be rebuked in the very strongest terms by those who are listening. When it is your time to leave here and go somewhere else, you know, it's one of those things, as Chris Jones said when he was out in Salt Lake City, he said, it just upsets me no end. He said, I attend the church that's closest to me on Sunday morning, and then I drive about an hour and a half to get to another one on Sunday evening. He said, that's the only thing that keeps me sane. He said, it's just terrible. There are places around where men have chosen to have the preeminence. And then this idea of false apostles. When we look at the denominational world, well, the best example that I know of that, when we were sitting down at the radio station, Nick had some stuff that was sent to his apartments, and they're not in a high socioeconomic group of town. He said, look, they're trying to fleece the poor here. And as I looked at those, he had two of them, and I said, well, this is interesting. I said, this black man he says he's an apostle. And he says, if you pray on this cloth and send me this money, that it'll be returned to you 10 to 100-fold. And then I opened the other one, and I said, this is even more amazing. And then I grabbed the first one, and I looked at the return addresses. Exactly the same, only this time the apostle was white. And he had a different cloth, and he said, if you pray over this, you'll receive. Same exact letter, they just changed the picture. Test those who call themselves apostles. There are so many people who are fleeced by those who would take their money, hopefully not in churches of our Lord, but nevertheless, we realize there are problems there too. And then he praises their perseverance. You know, when you start thinking about hard work and perseverance and what it takes to be steadfast, there are going to be times that try your souls. People that you thought so highly of that are going to fail you. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 is sort of our watchword. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. That's the only place it's not in vain. And even then, you may think that there are no results, but the Lord is the one who has prepared the message. The fact that they could not tolerate wicked men immediately comes to our mind as we think about the leaders of our nation, the leaders of our state, the leaders of many of the states throughout this country now, who are not only tolerating wicked men, they are embracing them and saying, this is what we should do. Romans chapter 1 and verse 32, in talking about homosexuality, and it's a situation that is incredible in our country today. Although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. God condemns our giving approval to those who are immoral. We need to point that out, and we need to tell them very clearly that they are being immoral. My wife was asking me the other day if I donated money to a specific person, and I said, no, I thought I should. But I said, the one that I spent money on was, there was a state representative that was trying, well, he had the only political announcement that I've ever seen denouncing homosexuality in this state. And I decided he ought to have enough to run one more of those advertisements. So I, knowing what it cost, I saved enough to run one more of them. I thought it was just amazing that there was someone who was in our legislature, in our state legislature, who was actually opposed and outspoken in his opposal to homosexuality. Then this idea of testing those who claim to be apostles. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And as you look at this, you realize that it's your responsibility, brethren. When someone preaches, we have to examine what they say. And if we find it to be wanting, we have to confront them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 says, examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Then in verse 5, Jesus, speaking to John, says, therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Many years ago, we had a brother in Christ here who was upset about things that were going on. And he said, as I have looked at this, he said, I always thought that I could dissociate myself from those brethren that were false teachers. He said, but they're nearly everywhere you go, but you have to remember God is the one who removes the candlestick. In every church, you will find those who are in error. Hopefully, you will find those who are faithful to the Lord. As we'll look just a little bit at Sardis, we'll see there are some who are faithful in the midst of great sin, and here they are praised for what they have done, and then they are told that they have not continued. And he said, unless you repent, your lampstand is going to get removed. We really don't know when God is going to remove a lampstand. I will tell you, brethren, that the things we're going to read about in the second and third chapters of Revelation are just unimaginable that brethren would put up with them. I have seen things that came close, but most of the time, brethren, get rid of it. He says, you also hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. This repent, this warning then, from Jude, which has only one chapter, verse 22. Have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Brother Chuck Scott used to preach in small congregations around here, and he would call every so often, and he said, "I've snatched one from the fire." And what he meant by that is someone who had been out of duty, perhaps for years, had finally turned around and turned to God and wanted to serve Him. Irenaeus is one of those early church writers who lived from, they're not certain exactly somewhere. They think he lived to be somewhere close to 100 years old. But in Acts the 6th chapter and verse 5, he attributes this Nicholas to the Nicolaitans. The deeds that he were teaching were from the man who was appointed a deacon in the church at Acts chapter 6 and verse 5. We don't know whether that's true, but as we look at that, we know that very shortly thereafter, for instance, in Acts the 20th chapter, at verse 28, when Paul talks to the elders from Ephesus, at verse 29, he says, "From among your own selves," speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, "shall perverse men arise, seeking to draw away the disciples after them." And as we think about that, we realize that we have a requirement to watch those who are in leadership positions. They too can fall. Just because they have taken these positions does not mean that they are completely blameless and sinless before God. And then the warning that we'll hear over and over again: he who has an ear. In other words, if you're paying any attention at all, if you're willing to listen, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. "To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." So we know that there is a place that is promised to those who are steadfast, who will maintain themselves. James chapter 1 verse 25, "One who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer." As we read the scriptures, we need to put them in place in our lives. We need to replace those things which so often trouble us with the idea of being Christ-like. And this, again, to repent. The lampstand will be removed. In verses 8 and 9, "To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last, who was dead and who's come to life, says this, I know your tribulation and poverty, but you are rich." I am reminded of the brethren in the Philippines, many of whom the preachers we support. I was talking to someone earlier, to Craig, as we were looking at the pictures in the announcements, and Brother Rogelio Pascal and Noel Diego were preaching a couple of Sundays ago, and they baptized 19 at one congregation. And they were thrilled to death with this. And I will tell you that these men are poor men, and the churches where they preach are poor. But as you think about how great our riches are, and by the way, if you haven't heard me say before, Brother Vincente Cipriano sent back a note that said that there were, I believe, somewhere around 40 at services, and that their collection was 300 pesos. And just for the fun of it, I looked it up to see what that was in dollars. It was $18.60. That was their total collection for a congregation where a preacher that you support preaches the gospel. And we say, well, how could they live on that? And then as I calculated, that would be about what the average person down there makes a day, $2 to $3. And so they're not doing too badly. It's just all a matter of how much do you have. I know your tribulation and your poverty. Have you ever known churches like this? We do. And the blasphemy of those, by those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. And here he makes a spiritual reference to those who would be descendants of Jesus Christ, of God the Father, and yet are keeping the things that are taught by Satan. So in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul writes, and he's so pleased with the brethren. We ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. It is never a happier time than to meet someone in my travel somewhere who has worshiped with the brethren that I have known. And then, as we always do, they start to ask about the people that especially stand out in their minds. Now, brethren, as you think about that, what that says is there are people who come here and they leave and they ask about you if you stand out in their minds. And it says that this is the kind of example that you ought to be setting. And then it is something that I still remember down in Houston, Texas one time. I didn't remember the fellow who had been here, and he asked about several people. Several I was able to give a most glowing account. And then there were others who had fallen from the faith, elders and preachers in the church, and they had fallen. And he was saddened by that immediately. But as you think about Paul going around to all the churches that he's been to and how he is able to say, we were so pleased to be able to talk about you. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. The people that they ask about were always people that I judged to be servants of God, those who were doing their best at the time, although some fell away. Then at verse 10, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death and I will give you the crown of life. As we look at that passage, we immediately say, well, wait a minute. Does that mean they're going to die and they have to be faithful all that length of time? Or does it mean that they are going to have to be faithful up to the point that perhaps they may have to give their lives in the cause of Christ? And then he says again, he who has an ear, let him hear. We can't be certain which of those two is true. We simply know that our position in life is to serve God until the time of our life is over. In fact, as we think about this, they're only going to be imprisoned for a relatively short time, 10 days. And so in Acts, the 14th chapter in verse 22, as Paul and Barnabas are returning on their first missionary journey, having taught the brethren and having spent a year and a half, in the very next verse, they're going to tell that they're going to appoint elders. But here it says they were strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. As we think about this, we're going to be faithful to the point of death, whatever it is. Through many tribulations, that is, there are going to be things that are going to test us. And when you grow old, you've seen a lot of those. And it also depends upon how active you've been in the local church. There are people who never knew things about some of the things that went on, even here at Glen Burnie. I never did know that about that person, because they were not involved in the work of the church. My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Notice this church, Smyrna, is one of two churches with no warning given. At verse 12, then, to the angel of the church at Pergamum, right? The one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell. Sometimes I think that about this place. When you think about how evil this, well, Baltimore and its surroundings, it stretches and down to D.C., and you think, on the television at night, I mean, it's just sort of a, how many people got shot and how many of them got killed? And how many houses burned down? And then what the legislatures have done that is anti-Christian. And as you think about that, we're not where Satan's throne is, but we're close. You know, we're the heroine. Baltimore's the heroine capital of the world now. The U.S. and the world. I understand that heroin, in my studies for a recent lesson, heroin is cheaper on the streets of Baltimore than marijuana. You can get a drug that is extremely addictive, extremely toxic, and it's when it's laced with fentanyl, it's just killing people right and left, even up in Harford County. You know, we think of Harford County, and I've always thought, well, that's way up there in the sticks. And that's where they're losing people on a regular basis. They've never seen anything like this. We have to hold fast to His name. We cannot deny the faith. And then you think about, well, what's going to happen when someone here is finally killed for the cause of the Lord? We're fortunate in that we don't come in contact with something like that, except that we see our brethren around the world. Nothing is ever more sad, as Alan Malone told us, of a preacher who was beaten to death by the government authorities because he accepted funds from a church here in the United States and spent them on his family. They told him, you can't get away with that, and he was killed for it. As we look at that, our hearts are saddened, but we're thankful that it doesn't occur here. You know, in Revelation chapter 6 at verse 9, it says, when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? We often sing that song, tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. Our God says it's going to happen. And even those who have been slain for the cause of the Lord in heaven cry out, how long? When will you put an end to it? We remember that Peter writes that the Lord is not concerned with time as we are. With Him, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Time for an eternal being has no function. And why does He allow these things to go on? He's unwilling that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So at verse 14, the rebuke. I have a few things against you. Because you have some who hold the teaching of Balaam, who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel. What kinds of things? To eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of immorality. So you have also some in the same way who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. As we look at this and we think about the acts of immorality and the things that we see that draw people away, we realize God wants us to control ourselves, that He wants us to remember to serve Him, not our fleshly selves, but to serve Him, for we have great reward in heaven. Now, this sin that they talk about by eating food sacrificed to idols, I take it is not the same as in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4 through 13, from which I've put only verse 4 up here. Concerning the eating of things sacrificed to idols, we know there's no such thing as an idol. In other words, we have knowledge. But evidently, they were doing this at the festivals, the public festivals, so that others would see this and they would be brought down. And that's what Paul condemns there in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. When it comes to sexual immorality, we find that in Corinth, there were temples of prostitution from those who were the Gentiles. And Paul, in writing about this, talks to us about fleeing immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside his body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Today we understand that, well, I will tell you that many years ago I was talking with my mentor at the University of Maryland, and he saw what, in clear detail, he described to me what was going to happen with research in the United States as those who were homosexual decided that they were going to make a real stand to get their share of the federal dollars and funding. They wanted to stop this epidemic of AIDS. And I will tell you that it has been well proven that if we had isolated those who practiced such things, like they at one time did for tuberculosis, it would have disappeared within a generation. HIV was transmitted mainly in this country by drug users and by homosexuals. It is true that the strain of HIV that is found in Africa now affects both men and women. And there are some countries where the HIV infection rate is above 90%. And as you consider that, you just sit there and say, what are their morals? Flee immorality. They've not been taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are no different than we are, except they have not been taught. They have not understood. They have not heard the warning. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit says. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Flee immorality. Then at verse 16, therefore repent, or else I am coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. As we think about the statue that we have seen there, the appearance of Jesus Christ, and his awesome power and majesty, I'm going to come and I'm going to make war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. In other words, I'm going to give sustenance. And I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone which no one knows but he who receives it. I'm going to bless him. To he who overcomes, sustenance and honor. But to those who hear the warning and do not heed it, he's going to come. And then at verse 18, to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet are like burnished bronze says this, I know your deeds and your love and your faith and service and perseverance and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. Now, that's a nice commendation. Keep doing better, brethren. That's the thing that we always have to remember. At 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, there's a list of those things that we are told to increase. His divine power is granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. And then I have put ellipses in there. And I've chosen these things, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Be diligent about his calling and choosing you. These things are to be in you and be increasing. That is, whatever we have done in the past, that's good. Keep doing it and strive for more. Then in verse 24, I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He who overcomes will keep my deeds until the end. To him I will give authority over the nations. Again, you see honor and sustenance to those who are faithful to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 10 at verse 22, as we think about holding fast, he told his disciples, you will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. There are people who get upset with you. I don't know how many times brethren have come up and you have been so diligent in passing out those books, which are very effective, especially about Baptist doctrine, called A Muscle and a Shovel. You've given them to friends and to loved ones and asked them to read them. And very often people come up and say, my, and they'll explain the relationship, was furious that I gave this to them. What do you think I need this for? Why should I be reading this? And the truth of the matter is that it's not you that they're upset about. It's that they read about themselves and they know that they are not doing what God has said and they're upset. And like always, they like to blame it on you rather than accepting the responsibility for not doing what God says themselves. You will be hated by all because of my name. You cannot be a faithful Christian and not suffer persecution. But remember, this is the theme of the book, Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those that are with Him are the called and chosen and faithful. Brethren, that's us. We need to keep it up. We need to do more. We need to remember that we have been called by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are chosen as vessels of honor to serve in distributing His word to go throughout the world. We must continue to be faithful in that, to continue to work. And then at verse 25, nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. Brethren, it's again, it says, just keep on. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces. As I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give them the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so again, you are admonished to continue doing what you have been doing that is right before God, to repent of those things that you might have gone astray in, but to recognize that honor and glory await us in heaven, not here on earth. If you have hold fast, you will have that great reward. To him who overcomes, power and honor. So in verse 20 again, by this I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. And she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Again, we see this same sort of thing happening. I gave her time to repent. She does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am He who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. There's a promise that is repeated often in the New Testament. And as we think about those churches that say, well, you don't have to do anything. And we look at this, I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. I still remember a young Chinese girl telling me about the fact that one of her friends, this was up at Towson University, she said, he's a student and he's studying to be a preacher. And he told us that all we had to do was believe and that all our sins would be forgiven. And we asked him, well then, you mean we're going to go to heaven if we're bad Christians? And he said, yes. So it's much easier to be a bad Christian than it is to be a good Christian. So you're telling us we shouldn't bother to be good Christians. She hit the nail on the head. She understood what their doctrine said. I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am He who searches the minds and hearts, going to know what you want to do. I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. The warning there is repent, that there's going to be intense suffering. So the message as we come through is for us to repent, to hold fast to our love and faith and service and perseverance. And the question for us tonight is, do we love the Lord? Will we serve Him? Matthew chapter 28 at verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. If there's anyone here who needs to respond, won't you do so as we stand and we sing.